When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
My friend Alex thought I was too much of a loner at the age of 30, and I wasn't too comfortable with it. I hadn't been in a relationship since forever, and for good reason, but Alex wouldn't listen to my excuses. I was the only single one in our friend group, and according to her, I always felt left out. I didn't feel left out. I tried telling her I was perfectly fine not being in a relationship. I was good at being single. But Alex insisted.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
She began talking about a dating app and insisted that I sign up for it and see if I could find my partner there. I was skeptical at first. There were barely any good stories from people using dating apps, but I went along with it. Alex helped me set it up, helped me choose a picture to post, and helped me set up my whole account. After that, all I had to do was wait and see if I could find a match. At first, I didn't bother. I truly wasn't looking to find anyone. But then I heard the ping of a notification coming from the phone, and I was too curious to not see, wondering if I truly found someone that I matched with. To my surprise, a man had sent a message, and I checked him out. He was easy on the eyes, with glasses identical to mine sitting on the bridge of his nose. He was also into astrophysics as much as I was. He liked to read, enjoy sunsets, and was looking for a longtime girlfriend. He sounded too good to be true, and I stared, astonished that he had messaged me. I contemplated for a moment before texting him back, and soon enough, we texted for hours about everything and nothing. It felt good to talk to someone who wasn't my friend, or the barista from Starbucks, and to flirt a little. It made me wonder if Alex was right about me being a loner. The man, named Dean, asked if I wanted to hang out. He suggested Starbucks, and I couldn't say no. It was like living in a dream. It felt all too perfect. He knew exactly what to say in the right place, and he was equal parts funny and smart, and also handsome. There had to be a slight flaw, something that would make him just a little less perfect. I didn't know what it was now, but I wouldn't find out. I just hoped it wouldn't be a deal breaker because I was starting to like him. The next day in the evening, Dean and I met at Starbucks. I found out that even our favorites are similar, and it felt as though fate brought us together. He made me laugh more than anyone in a while. I was glad I had gotten into dating. When we both finished our coffee and didn't have another reason for staying at Starbucks, I felt slightly bummed. I didn't want it to end, so I suggested that we check out this restaurant. And after that, I followed him into his house. Dean lived in a slightly sketchy environment, with dark alleys and barely anyone walking around. It was sweet. I wanted it to go on forever. Well, until I felt the hilt of a cold blade against my neck. He stopped and held me still. I was too shocked to find that he had a knife placed right where my jugular was. I could barely breathe as I watched him, wondering where the sweet guy went. His eyes looked angry now and filled with rage. "Dean, what is this? You don't want to do this." I tried to reason with him, but he only smirked. "I have waited so long for this. So yes, I want to do this." I didn't understand what he meant, and he looked annoyed at my confusion. I was aware that it would take him seconds to slash my throat and kill me. I wasn't strong, especially not against him. I quivered with fear, and I wondered what to do. All I could do for now was stand still and stall him long enough to think up something better. "What do you mean?" I asked him, and he only shook his head and pressed the knife further into my neck. I wasn't cutting anything, but I felt the pain from the pressure on it. He was holding me tightly, my hands wrapped behind his back, but one of his hands held me in place. I was terrified. I wanted to scream, but I wasn't sure anyone would hear me. "Dean, please," I begged him, but I knew he wasn't listening with the way his eyes turned red. "I will add you to my collection. I have been waiting, and now I have you." I asked him what he meant, and he told me everything. I couldn't remember him, but he did. We were classmates in high school, and he had a crush on me. He tried talking to me, but I humiliated him and refused to hear him out. He had been harboring me in his mind. He wanted to do things to me that would leave me traumatized. He didn't want to kill me yet, but he said he would. Tears sprung in my eyes. I should have known he was too good to be true. It was all too perfect. I didn't know I was a target. He was waiting for the right time to get me. Dean finally removed the knife from my neck, but he didn't let me go. He tied my arms and legs and took me to his basement. The basement was putrid. It smelled horrible, and I was terrified to see that the basement was filled with human remains, limbs and eyeballs plucked out, and a head that stared back at me with its sockets empty. I wanted to vomit the contents of my stomach, but I didn't want to anger him any further than he was. It turned out that it didn't matter. Dean returned with a knife. It was a little blunt. The wicked gleam in his eyes was still there. He gagged me so I wouldn't scream, and then he dragged the knife around my legs and arms. He pressed the knife so hard that it began to draw blood. Hot pain seared through my entire body. My eyes wouldn't stop letting down tears, and I clenched my gag as I couldn't scream. He did it over and over again, the blunt knife tracing my entire body and opening my skin with how deep he went. The pain nearly blinded me. He looked at me, annoyed. "I don't like how your eyes water." I wanted to say I was sorry, that he should stop, and that I would leave and never tell anyone about him, but I couldn't. My voice was muffled, and he didn't want to stop. He brought the knife to my face and slashed hard. Blood gushed out. My vision blurred even further. Then he used the knife and plucked my eyeballs out one at a time. The pain was insane. I didn't know anything could be this horrible. I couldn't see anymore. I was crippled by the pain, and I cried and cried, but there were no tears. I could feel every painful sensation. I could feel the tip of the knife as he continued to slash at my skin, until he got bored and left me there, leaving me to rot. Dean never came back to the basement. I was blinded and tied up. I passed out. The next thing I knew, someone was shaking me. I couldn't see, and for a moment, I freaked out. Then I remembered I couldn't see anymore. I didn't have eyes. I could distinctly hear Alex's voice crying and talking to me. She explained that I had gone missing for days, and that they were able to track me down into an old house in a basement. Alex told me I was lucky to be alive. The doctor said it was a miracle that I survived such wounds, but I didn't feel lucky. I didn't want the miracle. I was left hollow and empty. I can never see the sunset again. I worked as a janitor at this mental facility for 15 years, and I still think back to this night. Don't tell my brother this, but I peed my pants a little bit because of those women. At the time, I was working as much as I could. Over the years, I accrued some debt, so whenever my coworkers needed a shift cover, I was there for them. So when I was asked to cover someone's overnight shift on Halloween so they could go to a party, I said yes with no hesitation. The night shift was an easy gig. They really just have you there so they can call you if one of the patients makes a mess. There's no list of expectations you need to hit to make the big man happy. You walk around with your cleaning supplies and sweep up debris if you spot some. Most do this for the first few hours, then hide in a closet and play on their phone for the rest of the shift. I usually bring a book to read. If someone needs you, they call you over a walkie-talkie. I thought it would be easy money, and I'm old, so I didn't feel like I was missing out on any of the fun festivities. I was happy I gave that young man a chance to have some fun. It was a full moon that night. Before starting my shift, I gazed at it and imagined how much spookier it made the holiday for those celebrating. It was an 8-hour shift that started at midnight. I clocked in, grabbed my cart, and started my rounds. Usually, the short-term patients cause more of a fuss than the long-term ones, so I started with them to connect with nurses working that night. It's good to touch base so they know who they're calling if something happens. For the first couple of hours, I walked around the short-term wing. There wasn't much, so time passed slowly. I decided to make my way to the long-term wing. To get to the other wing, you have to walk through a hallway entirely made of windows. As I walked down the walkway, the moon glowed in the sky. I spied the closet where I planned to camp out. I stopped by to drop off my book and some food I brought from home. This was the best closet in the facility because we janitors worked together to sneak a recliner into it. Management never stuck their noses in our business as long as we maintained things, so it was a treat we gave ourselves for our hard work. Management surely wasn't going to give us anything. As I was dropping off my stuff, I heard what sounded like chanting through the vents. I didn't think much of it because that wasn't my department, unless people started throwing food around. When I stepped back into the hallway, I could no longer hear the chanting. I almost forgot I heard it. I worked my way around the long-term wing, and it was as silent as always, until I started towards the end of the wing. At the very end of the wing, there is a community room. It has a couple of whiteboards, books, tables, games, puzzles, and other things to help patients pass the time. I walked down the hallway and started to hear the hushed chanting. I peered into the rooms of the sleeping patients to see if it was any of them, but they all slept peacefully. The closer I got to the community room, the louder the chanting became. I couldn't make out the words. They weren't English. It sounded like Latin. Patients weren't allowed in the community room after 9 p.m. I wasn't sure what the protocol was if I found patients out of bed. People only ever called me on the walkie. I had no clue if I called out if someone would answer. The chanting grew louder and louder with each step. Not because I was getting closer, but the chanters were getting louder and faster. I reached the door and looked inside, and three women sat around a star drawn on the ground. I assumed they used ketchup to draw the star because they didn't have access to much else. The women were dressed in pajamas, so I assumed they were patients. I stood outside and I watched. Each sat crisscrossed on the floor with their hands resting on their knees, palms up. Their heads were slightly tipped back, and they chanted in perfect unison. It wasn't a short phrase either. It was long, so their ability to stay in harmony was impressive. I didn't get spooked until I saw a dead cat in the middle of their star. I didn't believe my eyes at first, because where could patients in a mental hospital get a cat in the first place? Maybe it was one of their stuffed animals. Lots of patients have stuffed animals, except their cat looked mangy. Looking closer, I realized the star didn't look like a substance smeared on the floor. Blood flowed off the cat and formed the star. I couldn't believe it, but when I looked at the hands of the women, they were clean. The women continued chanting. I thought I needed to call someone and went to grab my walkie, but before I made a move or a noise, one of the ladies snapped her head in my direction. Her eyes met mine and I stumbled back, dropping the walkie-talkie. I bent down to pick it up, and as I rose, one of the other ladies stood before me. I turned to where they were sitting, and the two other women remained. My eyes returned to the woman before me. "Turn back," she said. Her breath was rancid. "I think you need to return to your room, ma'am," I said, thinking I wasn't ready to subdue a patient. "Turn back!" She growled louder. I looked into her dilated pupils, and the hair on my arms stood up. The other two women were much closer now. It was so creepy how they didn't make a sound. "He saw us. He is something we need to take care of now," one of the others said. No, nothing to take care of. You know, it's my time to take a break anyway, so you ladies carry on. Don't mind me. I'll just listen and, as you said, turn back." They each stared at me as I slowly backed away. Once I was a decent distance away, I turned around and ran as fast as my cart would allow. I returned to the janitor's closet and heard their chanting again. I couldn't just sit in there, so I went to the nurse station in the long-term patient wing to tell them about the ladies pretending to be witches. "Excuse me, miss. I think I need to tell you some patients are in the community room. Looks like they're doing a ritual of some kind." The nurse looked confused. "I just did my rounds. Everyone is in the room. When did this happen?" "About 30 minutes ago." "I mean, everyone is in their rooms. What did they look like? Did you get names?" I told her what the three women looked like, and she told me they had no patients matching that description. "But I saw them." "Let's check the community room together. I just heard them chanting not long ago." We walked down the silent hallway to an empty community room. No star was on the floor, no dead cat, no women chanting. To this day, I know what I saw. I didn't make it up, but I also never took a night shift again, no matter how much money I needed. My friend made my Bumble profile. She insisted I put myself out there after a year of being single. I was in a 3-year-long relationship, and he cheated on me with someone from work, so I needed some time before I put myself back out there. My friend insisted on Bumble because, according to her, Tinder was all hookups and crap. In the beginning, I didn't have much luck. First, there was Tyler, who smelled. He took me to Putt-Putt, and I did not care for him to show me how to do it. He was very proud of his all-natural deodorant. Then there was Ryan, who only talked about his mom and still lived with her. After those duds, I wanted to give up completely. Being single isn't that bad, but then I came across Mike. He had short blonde hair and green eyes. His profile checked all the boxes for being an average safe guy. He had pictures of him with different people, some solo shots of him in front of scenic backgrounds, and one with his mother. He didn't have a bio, and I never liked to just start with a "hey." I always try to do a little more, so when there's no bio, I don't have much to work with. With Mike, though, that wasn't an issue. I hit him with that simple "hey," and he really took initiative with the conversation. It was refreshing, because so often it's like pulling teeth to get these dating app guys to talk. From our first interaction, I was very excited to meet him in person. We went on a couple of dates before I let him take me back to his apartment. Looking back, it's so creepy how easily he deceived me. For our first date,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
He took me to a nice Italian restaurant. He called ahead to ensure we had a table overlooking the water. It was the most romantic date I had ever been on. My ex never did things like that for me. On our second date, he took me to the aquarium. You see, on the first date, I told him how much I loved aquatic animals, like sharks, clownfish, and manatees. For him, he told me it was a no-brainer. We had to go to the aquarium. I was so blown away at the thought he put into our dates. I felt like I really found something in him, but we didn't have much in common. He enjoyed hunting, and I'm a vegetarian. He liked to go to bars to drink with his buddies, and I preferred to stay in and read a book. Our differences only helped us have riveting conversations. He would send me sweet little texts throughout the week. One time, he sent me flowers. My ex never did those things. Mike treated me better than anyone else. I was careful because you hear so many horror stories about people you meet online. Mike respected that though. He knew I didn't want to rush into anything and put myself in a compromising position. He told me that's what he liked about me. At the time, I didn't quite know what to make of that. On our third date, he took me to his favorite steakhouse. It was the fanciest restaurant I had ever been in. I wore a little black dress and black heels, a classic look. He was dressed so nicely with a jacket and tie. It accentuated his strong arms. Usually, we would debate about animal rights or which Star Wars film was the best. But that night, the conversation took a different direction. He asked about my blood type and if I ever had a major surgery. I tried to laugh it off and asked him, "Why? Looking for a heart donor or something?" He smiled. He had such a charming smile. "No, no," he laughed. "What if something happened to you? I want to be prepared." Mike ordered the largest steak on the menu. As he cut into it, he commented how nice it felt to cut into a slab of meat. I couldn't relate because I don't eat meat. He insisted I watch as he slowly cut into his T-bone steak. I think he kind of got off on it. I brushed these things off and still went home with him. Upon entering his home, those weird moments began to make more sense. Mike's walls were covered with taxidermy of every kind of animal. "You didn't tell me you were into taxidermy," I commented. Mike shrugged. "Women get weirded out by it, so I keep it to myself until they get to know me." "Oh, have you dated around a lot?" "About as much as the next guy. It's hard out here. You know that." I nodded, recalling when I listened to Ryan talk about his mom's relationship with her cat for 45 minutes. "Very true. Where's your restroom?" He pointed down the hall. His bathroom was meticulously clean. Every surface sparkled. Honestly, I needed to poop, so I spent a little time in there. I also needed to prepare for what was to come. As I reapplied some powder, I heard what sounded like a tarp being shaken out. I peeked my head out, and across the hall was his bedroom. The air reeked of alcohol. I walked across the hall expecting to see something sexy, but I found him in his room hanging up clear plastic tarps. "What are you doing?" He turned and smiled at me. "Just getting ready." "What? Do you have some major kink or something?" Mike walked up to me and touched my face. "Something like that." My skin crawled at his touch and I slowly backed away. "Why did you ask me about my blood type and if I ever had surgery?" "Because I don't mess with girls that are universal donors or have an AB blood type." "Why?" I tried to keep him talking until I had my bag and phone. "I just don't like, in theory, how much easier they are to save." I grabbed my phone. "You know, I think I should be going. I think there is something rotten in that salad and I'm just not feeling great."
"You're not going anywhere."
He charged towards me. There was a knife on the counter next to me, and I grabbed it and held it out. Just as I did this, he ran into the knife. I'd say I stabbed him, but it felt like luck that I moved quickly enough he couldn't react to me grabbing it. I called the police, and they were on the scene within 15 minutes. I gave them my statement. They found body parts of 13 different women stuffed into all his taxidermy. It took them months to assemble the body so their families could put them to rest. I didn't face charges because it was self-defense. I kept going over my time with Mike to see if I missed any warning signs, and I really can't think of any.
I did everything right and still almost ended up stuffed into an elk's head. It was sheer luck that saved me.
Growing up in a Mormon household, I'd always been unable to do a lot of stuff that other teens were able to do. I didn't go to parties or sneak sips of alcohol. I didn't date, aside from replanned get-togethers with my parents there. Worst of all, I didn't use any kind of social media. Mom said that the internet was full of crazy people. She said that life was too short for me to waste my time making fake friends online. And for the longest time, I believed her. But I'm 18 now, and I don't have to do everything my parents say. I'm studying at BYU, and while I'm making friends with people who aren't part of the church, I still want to dip my toes into the online world. I knew that if I got an Instagram or a Facebook account, my parents would find out right away. My dorm mate told me about Omegle, which was completely anonymous, and I figured that I could give it a try. I didn't even need to create an account. All I had to do was log in and video chat with other people who I would never really meet in real life. What was the danger in that, right? It took me a second to figure out how it worked, but basically a video of someone would appear and we were able to chat about anything. It seemed cool, but as soon as I opened my mouth, those people took one look at me and skipped to someone else. I considered myself a pretty handsome guy, but I guess people can tell from my clothes and my face that I'm just some Mormon loser who has no idea how to use the internet. I spent about an hour trying to connect with people, but I always got skipped, over and over. It was extremely embarrassing, and even though I knew that those people would never see me again, I couldn't stop feeling sorry for myself. Eventually, I connected with a cute girl who didn't skip me immediately. She said hi and asked me a few questions about myself. She had fake red hair, but beautiful eyes. I felt a connection instantly. I even noticed that in the background to her video that she had a BYU pendant on the wall. She must go to my school. I didn't mention that, though. I didn't want to scare her off. In fact, the brick wall behind her looked really familiar. I figured she'd stayed at Youngman Hall, which was just on the other side of campus. We chatted for a bit, and then her expression changed. She still smiled, but it seemed darker, more challenging. "You seem like a cool guy," she said. "Do you want to see something crazy?" I didn't answer for a second. Was she going to flash me or something? I didn't know if I was ready for that. But I couldn't say no, though, because I was worried that she'd get disappointed and skip me. So I said, "Sure." She giggled and then left the room. I waited for a long moment, preparing myself for whatever she was going to show me. And when she came back, she had a guy with her. It took me a second to realize that the guy was tied up. His mouth had duct tape on it. "Watch this," she said. "It's wild." She positioned the semi-conscious man on her lap. She pulled out a knife and held it up to the camera. She wiggled it right in front of my face, still smiling. I was so shocked, I didn't say anything. I couldn't form any words at all. Then, with one more giggle, she stabbed into the man. He twitched in pain. I could hear his choking groans through the duct tape. She stabbed him more times than I could count, and the man kept twitching and writhing, thrashing about, until he became very still. Then, the girl turned back towards me, her beautiful eyes locked onto mine. "Crazy, right?" And with that, the video stopped and ended our chat. The next video came on, an Asian man in a hoodie, and I was too numb to say anything. He stared at me for a second and then skipped me. I slammed my laptop shut. What just happened? Was something happening on social media? Was this the thing that my parents warned me about? I sat in my room for hours, staring at nothing, trying to figure out what I saw and if it was real or was it an online prank. I considered calling the police, but I couldn't. I had no idea what to say. I stayed in my room for the next few days, barely able to talk to my dorm mates. And as days went on, I tried to convince myself that I had just connected with a weird girl who just wanted to impress a total stranger with her stupid prank. After a while, I convinced myself that that was the case. It couldn't be real. Things like that don't happen in the real world. The next Monday, I went to my classes, finally happy that I had gotten past that one attempt at socializing online. I went to my literature class, which is in the lecture hall with hundreds of students. I took my usual seat by myself. I recognized fake red hair right away. I looked, but looked away, trying not to look. But when she turned in my direction, her beautiful eyes locked onto mine, just like they had before. And I knew she recognized me. The room was huge, filled with chatter from every direction, but I could still hear her giggling. After that, I raced out of there, into the hallway filled with students rushing to get to their next class. I tried to blend in. I tried to make sure the girl didn't see me. I rounded the corner, and there she was, leaning casually against the wall. "Hi," she replied. I said nothing. "Do I know you?" she asked. She looked at me for a long time. I could tell that she was messing with me. I don't think so," I said. "No," she responded. "I know I've seen you somewhere, but I can't put my finger on it." She got closer. I was too scared to run. She was so close now that I could smell her minty breath. She leaned towards me and whispered into my ear. "Crazy, right?" Then she pulled back. "I have a feeling I'm going to be seeing you real soon." And then she walked away and she was gone. It's been 2 weeks since that happened, and I haven't seen her since. But I think about her every day. And whenever I'm alone, I always look around to make sure she's not there. But in my heart, I know she's watching me. And I know one day, she'll come for me.